Chapter 1. Karelia Isthmus, Finland, November 30th, 1939. Hale took a deep breath and let it out slowly. The steam from his warm exhaled air slowly dissipated in front of him as his ears registered a sound.
"Is that them?" he thought.
His thumb unconsciously fingered the safety of his SK Nagant M2830 bolt-action rifle. He could feel a hint of the cold metal through the thick fabric of his gloves. He looked around at his immediate surroundings. The land was shrouded in a velvety blanket of whiteness, broken by a seemingly endless number of trees. The trees, mostly birch, had lost their leaves to fall's chill several months prior. The branches of the trees were all tinged with the white of last night's snowfall. The trees' branches intertwined to form an endless canopy as far as the eye could see. It was a breathtaking sight to behold. Hale exhaled once more and watched the steam from his breath slowly dissipate in front of him. He felt a dull pain in his posterior, so he shifted his position on the large branch he sat on to relieve it. He sighed in relief as the pain ebbed. The faint sound continued to buzz in his ear. He asked himself again, "Are they coming?" He sat in near silence for several more minutes as the faint noise transformed itself into a dull rumble.
"This is it. They're coming."
He closed his eyes and imagined where he would be right now if it wasn't for them. Certainly not perched in a tree in the miserable cold of this late November morning, awaiting the invaders. Reality fell away, and an image began to form in his mind of a blanket wrapped around his shoulders as he sat on the floor in front of a warm fire. He was sipping a cup of hot cocoa. As he let his imagination take over, he could almost feel the hot liquid slide down his throat and fill his insides with its sweet-tasting warmth. He looked around the room. In front of him was a fireplace. Within the fireplace was a pair of logs. A warm flame crackled and occasionally snapped as he absorbed the warm glow. The heat created a ruddy red glow on the pale skin of his face. From behind, he felt two arms wrap around him. He smiled and turned to see his little sister grinning at him. She was missing one of her front teeth. The tooth had recently fallen out.
"Good morning," his sister Aina said.
Hale returned the smile and with a "good morning" of his own. The smell of sizzling meat wafted over them. Turning toward the kitchen, Hale added,
"Smells like breakfast is almost ready. Would you like some of my hot cocoa?"
Aina's grin broadened into a full smile and she nodded vigorously.
"Yes, please."
Hale turned to hand her a cup when a dull clanking noise pulled him back to reality. He opened his eyes and looked to his right at the lonely ribbon of mud and gravel that broke the seemingly endless rows of trees that surrounded him.
"Yes, that has to be them."
Hale removed the mask that kept his face warm and slipped it into his pack. He then set his rifle down gently in his lap and removed his left glove. Stowing it in the pocket of his thick overcoat, he flicked off the safety with his left thumb. Despite the frigid cold, the well-oiled switch clicked into place without resistance. Remembering the day the rifle was given to him, he thought, "Thanks, Dad." He pulled the glove back onto his left hand and craned his head so that he could see as far up the road to his right as possible. The dull clanking noise continued to grow in volume. A pair of stags bounded by below him, heading away from the noise. He took another deep breath, looked up and saw several squirrels dashing amongst the branches above him. They too headed away from the noise.
North, away from the invaders and towards safety.
Hale began to feel the ground shake as the large Soviet column came into view. A Russian T-28 tank, painted white to blend into the terrain and emblazoned with a large red star on its turret, slowly clanked and groaned as the metal monster made its way up the road. The steel beast belched black smoke out of its hindquarters and spat mud and gravel from its tracks as it chewed up the soil of his homeland, Finland. The vehicle had tracks on the left and right side with two large wheels at either end, 11 small wheels on the lower half of the track, and 3 small wheels that touched the upper track. The two large wheels worked to drive the vehicle forward and the smaller wheels aided in holding the tracks in place. Atop the tank, sticking out of a hatch in the top of the turret, was a man. He wore a green fur cap and a heavy coat. The coat, also a dark green in colour, disappeared below his chest into the hatch. His black gloved hands held a pair of binoculars, which he used to scan the forest around him as the tank slowly lumbered forward. As Hale watched, the next vehicle in the column slid into view.
It was a Gaz MM. The Gaz MM was a truck. The truck had a cab in the front that could hold two people, and a canopy-covered rear deck, where soldiers or supplies could be carried. He could see the faint outline of the driver's head through the glass in the door as the vehicle slowly made its way forward behind the T-28. The truck was painted a dark green and had a red star of its own emblazoned on the driver's door. The canopy of the Gaz MM was the same dark green colour as the tank commander's coat. Hale took another deep breath and let it out slowly as he raised his rifle to his shoulder. This time he held his breath as he looked down the length of his rifle and drew a bead on the head of the tank commander with the iron sights. Hale peered through the first sight, which was a half square that stuck up out of the rifle at the base of the barrel just beyond the bolt mechanism. He did this with his right eye as he closed his left. The square had a small notch in it that he lined up with the pip on the end of the rifle. He moved the rifle until both the notch and the pip lined up with the tank commander's head. The head appeared as a small green dot within his gun sight. He then shifted the rifle slightly forward, so that the head barely showed in the hole of the square on the right side, and slowly applied pressure to the trigger of his gun. The rifle belched acrid smoke and flame as it roared into life. The sound of the single shot echoed off the thousands of nearby trees as the bullet travelled nearly instantaneously to the head of the tank commander and hit it. The bullet carved through the man's fur-lined cap, then his skull, next into the fleshy brain beneath, and finally out the other side as it continued on its course. Before the bullet ended its journey by striking the trunk of a tree situated somewhere behind the tank commander, his lifeless body hunched forward, and the man's chin struck the edge of the turret ring he stood in, and blood began to pool on the top of the T-28, contrasting sharply with the white paint. "I have just taken a life. God, please forgive me," Hale thought. Before the column could react to Hale's shot, he pulled the bolt on his rifle and ejected the first bullet. As he slid the bolt back, the second bullet in his 5-bullet magazine clicked into place. He then swiveled the rifle to the right, lined up the first truck driver's head in his sights and squeezed the trigger again. This time his bullet shattered glass the moment before it struck its target. As the driver slumped forward, the bullet, now misshapen from its impact with both the truck's window and the driver's skull, began to tumble as it slammed into the body of the Russian sitting to the right of the truck driver. The bullet penetrated the man's arm, just above the bone in his left bicep, and entered his chest. As it continued along its path, the bullet cleaved the man's heart in two and exited out his right side before coming to a rest in the passenger side door of the truck. The column lurched to a stop, as Hale pulled the bolt on his rifle again. A small puff of smoke emerged from the rifle as he did so. Like the first time he pulled the bolt action on his rifle, the spent cartridge was ejected. Hale's eyes followed the steaming brass metal for a moment as it began its journey to the forest floor below. "Stay focused," he mentally chastised himself as he looked back up at the now halted column. Several Soviet soldiers emerged from the rear of the canopy-covered first truck in line. He drew a bead on the first man to emerge and squeezed the trigger. An instant later, the soldier dropped to the snow-covered road. Hale quickly worked the bolt of his rifle twice more, dropping the first man's two companions within the space of two heartbeats. Other Soviets who had emerged from the trucks behind the first one followed the sound of his rifle and began running toward him. He quickly tabulated the number of soldiers in his head. 3 squads of 8 men each. A full platoon. Too many. Hale hit the tab on the bottom of his rifle that ejected the magazine. He caught the metal clip as it began to fall toward the earth and quickly slipped it into the left pocket of his white greatcoat. He reached into his right coat pocket and grabbed his next magazine. With a grunt, he slammed it into place and pulled the bolt on his rifle to bring the first bullet into the chamber. Hale took another deep breath as he drew a bead on the first man running toward him in his iron sights. He squeezed the trigger and his rifle roared to life as it bucked against his right shoulder and tried to leap out of his hands. With practice ease, he held the rifle in place. An instant later, the lead soldier dropped to the ground. He operated the bolt quickly and expended the 4 remaining bullets in his clip. Each shot found its way into the head of one of the oncoming invaders. As more of the invaders emerged from their trucks, the guilt he had been experiencing fell away and his heart hardened. "Good riddance," he thought to himself. As Hale coldly slapped his 3rd magazine into place, the turret of the T-28 began traversing in his direction. He took a deep breath and held it,
as he quickly took aim and dropped four more of the Soviet invaders with his rifle. The barrel of the T-28 made him nervous as it slowly swung in his direction, which caused him to miss a shot. "Damn it," he chastised himself mentally. He hit the tab, releasing the magazine from his gun. Like before, he deftly caught the metal clip and quickly dropped it into his left pocket. He reached into his right pocket, grabbed his last magazine and slapped it into place. A faint click told him that the magazine had slipped into position and locked. As he raised his rifle to shoot again, his eyes focused on the black maw of the tank gun now pointed at him. "Time to go," he thought. He slung his rifle onto his left shoulder and leapt onto the trunk of the tree from the branch that he had been perched upon. With his arms wrapped around the trunk, he quickly slid to the ground. The moment his feet touched the frigid snow, the place where he had been sitting a moment earlier exploded into a ball of flames. The wood of the tree groaned as it shattered into a million splinters and caught fire. The shockwave from the blast knocked him to the ground face first. The snow helped to soften the blow from the concrete-like surface of the frozen ground beneath. As he sat up, he blinked for several moments as stars danced in front of his eyes, and his hearing became muted. The crackling flames of the tree branches above him sounded dull, as if he were underneath the surface of a lake. Hale's mind shifted out of reality back to another time. He stood shivering in the early morning air as he leaned up against a tree trunk. It was snowing. He glanced to his right in the direction that he knew his father stood. Like unmoving statues, they both waited for a moose or a deer to happen by. Hale heard movement to his left, the sound of several paws striking the snow. He turned to face the sound and shivered as he met the steely gaze of a wolf running toward him. The beast's coat was a dappled mixture of white and grey. As it drew near, the creature curled its lips into a snarl, revealing two sharp fangs and dozens of smaller pointy white teeth. Hale raised his single-shot rifle up to fire. It had been his grandfather's. Frightened, he closed his eyes and squeezed the trigger. As his grandfather's gun spat fire, the memory faded and he snapped back into reality. Hale shook the cobwebs out of his head and slowly made his way to his feet. Nearby, he heard the sound of a branch snap. He pulled his rifle off of his shoulder as he whirled around toward the sound. He caught sight of an enemy soldier topping the ridge 100 feet from him. Like the wolf, as he caught sight of Hale, the man curled his lips to reveal his not-so-white teeth. The soldier's fur cap had a large red star emblazoned on it. As he saw Hale 100 paces in front of him, he raised his rifle and squeezed off a quick shot. The poorly aimed gunshot slammed into the trunk of the burning tree to Hale's left. Hale raised his own rifle and returned fire. He didn't miss. The next four Soviets to top the ridge quickly suffered the same fate as the first. Hale slung his rifle over his shoulder again and glanced at the ground. He instantly spotted what he was looking for. My skis. He placed his booted feet into the skis and hurriedly strapped them in. As he drove his ski poles into the snow and started moving forward, the crack from three rifles washed over him. A moment later, three bullets impacted into the snow around his feet. The impact caused the snow to leap from the ground for a moment before falling back to earth. As Hale built up speed, a group of Soviets standing atop the same ridge where he dropped several of their companions moments before fired their rifles at Hale's retreating, zigzagging form. As Hale made his way up the opposite ridgeline, bullets flew past him, some near enough that he could hear a faint buzzing sound and felt a wisp of wind as they passed. As soon as Hale topped the ridge and disappeared from the sight of the oncoming soldiers, he changed direction to the south. He continued in this direction for several minutes. He fell into a familiar rhythm as he made his way across the countryside. Right pole, right leg forward, left leg pushing, then left leg forward, and left pole to pull him forward. Hale had gone several 100 feet before he heard the voices of several Soviet soldiers behind him. Unable to understand what they were saying, he imagined their confusion as he wasn't in sight. "It won't be long before they see my tracks and figure it out," he thought. He slipped back over the ridge in the direction of the road, finding a large oak tree amongst the birch. He came to a stop and placed the trunk of the tree between him and his trail. He then knelt and opened his overcoat. Underneath, over his shirt, he wore two belts that held dozens of 7.62x54R rounds for his SK Nagant. Hale took his gloves off, dropped them into his lap and then reached into his left pocket to grab one of the empty magazine clips. He wore his ammo belts inside his coat to keep the bullets warm. This enabled him to do this barehanded reload quickly. He slipped the end of the first bullet into the clip he held, then the second, the third, fourth, and finally the fifth. Task complete, he hit the tab on his rifle that ejected the magazine. He let that one drop into his lap, where it landed on top of his gloves, and slapped the loaded magazine into place. He quickly reloaded each of the clips until his right pocket was again filled with three full magazines of bullets. As Hale completed loading his last magazine, the sounds of footsteps crunching in the snow on the other side of the ridge behind him could be heard. He slipped his gloves on, and then pulled the bolt on his rifle, so that a bullet dropped into place in the chamber. Preparation complete, he quickly stood up. Hale heard the voice of the first soldier on top of the ridgeline. The man said, "Siuda." The voice sounded young, like his own. "Such a waste. We should all be inside by a warm fire, not trying to kill each other," he thought. He peeked around the tree trunk he hid behind and quickly stole a glance at the enemy. The young Soviet soldier, who missed Hale's quick glance, looked much like the rest of the soldiers he had killed. Green fur cap, with a red star emblazoned on it, black leather boots and gloves, and a dark green overcoat that stretched down to the man's knees. A small lock of blonde hair was visible hanging down from the hat. "Same colour as mine," Hale thought. As Hale stepped out from the protection of the oak tree, the Russian soldier was looking back at his companions on the other side of the ridge. Hale quickly raised his rifle, took aim, and squeezed the trigger. The bullet slammed into the back of the young man's head with a dull smack and he fell backwards. His green cap and body fell separately, as they disappeared and tumbled down the hill. As the corpse came to rest at the bottom of the gorge, another senseless and nameless victim of Stalin's aggression, the loose lock of blonde hair became matted in the young man's blood. Hale quickly retreated behind the trunk of the tree to wait. He heard the voices of the man's companions as they talked hurriedly in Russian. After chattering excitedly for several moments, they came to a consensus on what to do next. Silent now, they began to creep forward toward the top of the ridgeline that separated them from Hale. Hale heard the men crawling forward and then stop. "What are they doing? Do they know where I'm at?" he thought. Before he could decide on his next course of action, the men rose up with a roar and began charging down the hill toward Hale's oak tree. Not knowing what else to do, Hale sat down so that he would blend in with the snow, slung his rifle over his shoulder and pulled out his Lati pistol. Next, he removed his gloves and checked the clip to ensure all was in order. The metal of the gun felt cold against his skin. Task complete, he held it with the barrel pointed skyward and his right index finger on the trigger. Without warning, the squad of Russians barreled past him as they ran down the hill. As they rushed past, they seemed heedless of him as his white overcoat helped him blend in with the snow on the ground. Hale stood and stole a glance around his oak, back in the directions the Russians had just come from. There were two more of them standing on the ridgeline. "I'm surrounded," he thought in dismay. Not knowing what else to do, Hale raised his pistol and took aim at the Russian that was furthest away from him as the man charged down the hill and squeezed the trigger of his pistol. The Lati bucked in Hale's hand as the bullet found the back of the Soviet's neck. The unfortunate fell face forward into the snow and slid for several feet before coming to a stop. The seven other members of the squad dropped to the ground in reaction as the single shot rang out. Hale managed to put a bullet into another of the green-clad soldiers as they dove for the earth. The forest became silent, save for the injured man's cries of pain. The two Russians behind him on the ridgeline conversed hurriedly in their native tongue, trying to figure out where the shot came from, Hale thought. Coming to a consensus, the two enemy soldiers started slowly creeping forward toward Hale. Panic ensued as the reality of the situation set in. "What do I do now? I'm trapped between two groups and it won't be long before they figure out exactly where I'm at," Hale thought. Hale's thoughts slipped away from reality as he remembered back to a time when he was in a similar situation. He glanced down at the cold water he stood in and shivered. "Must stay quiet or they will find me." He had sat in the cold creek for what had seemed like hours as two older boys hunted him. Hale had made them look the fool in front of the other children at recess earlier that day in school, and now they aimed to even the score. The sound of the trickling water from the creek reminded him that his bladder was full. The gurgling, bubbly, frothing water tormented him as he continued to try and outweigh the boys that hunted him. He gritted his teeth as he resisted the urge to let it go. "I'd never hear the end of it if they found me, beat me up and I pissed myself." As one of the larger boys drew near, Hale crouched down further into the creek bed, trying to make himself invisible. It didn't work. Without warning, two large hands painfully grasped his shoulders and jerked him to his feet as the voice behind those hands said, "I found the little worm." Hale shuddered as his thoughts snapped back into reality. A Russian, another young man like himself, stood over him and yelled, "But oh!" As the Soviet's rifle swung upwards, Hale took aim with his latte and put a bullet in the man's head. The soldier, slain, fell backward as his rifle tumbled to the ground. Hale, hearing movement directly behind him, swung his pistol toward the noise and fired. Another man, his eyes wide as his face filled with a look that was one part horror and one part shock, was a mere 3 feet from his own. The man's stunned look and wispy hints of his first beard would forever be emblazoned in Hale's memory. As a scarlet spray exploded from the Soviet's neck, he stumbled back a step and tried to place his left hand over the wound to staunch the bleeding. It didn't work. Must have hit an artery, Hale thought. Without warning, a pair of arms grasped him from behind, forcing him to drop his pistol. Oh God, not again. The thought exploded into Hale's mind as anxiety took over. At the same time, the dying enemy soldier in front of him staggered forward and raised his right hand to grasp him. Hale grabbed the knife from the bleeding man's belt with his left hand and thrust it over his right shoulder. The arms around him slackened and fell away without a sound. He then kicked the dying man in front of him in the stomach. The breath knocked out of him, the man Hale had shot tumbled down the hill. As he rolled, he tried to warn his comrades, but all that came out of his mouth were red bubbles and a hiss as his lungs filled with blood. Hale dropped to the ground to retrieve his pistol. He glanced to the right to confirm that the man he had stabbed wouldn't be a threat. The man would never be a threat to anyone ever again, as Hale's desperate thrust had put the knife right through the man's left eye. Hale glanced around and shuddered at the gruesome sight. The snow around him had turned red from the blood of his enemies. He felt a pang of guilt before his heart hardened and his thoughts shifted to rage. "The soil of my homeland will feast upon the blood of every last one of you filthy invaders." A few shots rang out from the group that had ran past Hale in his general direction. He heard a few of the bullets slam into the trunks of nearby birch trees. Hale crouched down, careful not to get any of the blood on his white pants and greatcoat. He searched the body of the soldier he had slain with the knife. As he searched, his hand wrapped around the cool metal cylinder he was hoping to find, a grenade. The word bingo flashed through his mind. Hale took the grenade and twisted the cap so that it was armed. He wrapped the fingers of his right hand around the wooden shaft and threw it down the hill toward the origin of the poorly aimed gunfire. Moments later, an explosion erupted and the gunfire ceased. The grenade created a large fireball that expanded and reached up toward the heavens. Using the grenade explosion as a distraction, Hale immediately stood up and began using his ski poles to pull himself toward the top of the hill. Moments before he reached the ridge, a shot rang out. Hale felt a huge crushing weight slam into his back, which caused him to topple over the top of the ridge just in front of him. He lost his balance and tumbled down the hillside. Just before he reached the bottom of the gully, he crashed into a tree. Pain now racked both the front and back of his body. He took a few moments to take stock of the situation through his pain-addled mind. "I'm hit," he thought, his inner voice laced with panic as fear exploded in his mind. Hale took a deep breath and removed his rifle from his shoulder. The pain in his back shifted to a dull throb. "I thought being shot would feel worse than this." He reached around with his left hand and felt the place on his back that throbbed. He brought his hand back around and stared at it for a moment. No blood. Surprised, Hale then looked at his rifle. Just below the bolt, and right where the metal section joined with the wooden stock, was a faint indentation on the metal. He breathed in silent relief and looked up at the sky. Thank you, God. His moment of reverie was abruptly ended by the voices of several Russians. They had returned to the top of the ridgeline that he had just tumbled from. The Soviets were hunting for him. As they gazed down the hillside, they saw his movement, raised their rifles and simultaneously snapped off 3 shots in his direction. The bullets impacted the ground around him and kicked up snow. Hale stayed low and quickly checked his rifle to ensure it was in working order. When Hale was done with his rifle, he looked up at the source of the gunfire.
he saw three enemy soldiers. Their green forms were silhouetted by the grey sky behind them. He raised his rifle in the direction of the middle one and took aim. He pulled the trigger and felt his Nagant kick against his shoulder as it roared and sent death on its way. Nearly an instant later, all three men dropped to the ground seeking cover. One of them would never rise again. Hale pulled the bolt on his rifle, ejecting the spent bullet. Two more shots rang out. This time the bullets were nowhere near him. "Just trying to keep me down. They can't see me now that they're on the ground," he thought. Hale released his boots from his skis and crawled around to the other side of the tree to put it between himself and the enemy. As he did so, several more shots rang out. They were all too high. "The cowards are scared to rise and take aim," Hale thought in amusement. Without warning, his mind slipped back to that day he hid in the creek bed. The two larger boys, one with red hair, the other with black, had pushed him up against a large elm tree. The largest, a boy of perhaps 14 who had been far too fond of sweets, grinned at Hale and said, "Do you think you were going to get away with that, little worm?" Hale's eyes narrowed as he glared back at the fat boy and struggled against the arms that grasped him from behind before smiling and saying, "Of course, everyone knows you're the dumbest boy in school." The larger boy's plump cheeks flushed until they matched the colour of his hair. Enraged, he let out a scream and slammed his fist into Hale's abdomen. Hale gasped as pain exploded in his stomach. The red hair boy's freckled face contorted into a menacing grin as he said, "I hope you enjoyed that, you little shit. There is more to come, much more." The fat boy's voice trailed off as Hale looked down at the bully's shoes. He could see his reflection in their black, well-polished leather. The reflection of his face taunted him. He looked back up at the red-headed boy, smiled and spat in his face. Enraged at Hale's defiance, the overweight bully screamed and threw punch after punch at Hale. Hale's mind exploded in anguish at the pain of that day as the memory faded and his thoughts returned to reality as another volley of bullets zipped by overhead. Hale stood up and took a quick glance around the tree trunk. The attempt was awarded with a shot and a bullet that whistled by where his head had been a moment before. "They figured out my exact location." Hale looked at the forest around him. He sighed as he saw no avenue of escape. That left one option. "I've got to take them down before they get me." Hale pondered the situation for a moment. As he did so, another bullet slammed into the tree he was using as a shield between himself and the Soviet soldiers. "I need a distraction." Hale took stock of everything he had with him. His rifle, pistol, magazines, clothing and coat. Everything he wore, save his pants, was the colour of snow. Then his eyes shifted to the fur-lined cap on his head and he grinned. "Worth a shot, I guess. Maybe two." He silently chuckled at his own pun. Hale raised his rifle up with his left hand and rested the stock on his shoulder. With his right, he removed his hat and then reached around the tree and threw it toward the two soldiers on the top of the hill. Two shots immediately reverberated through the trees as Hale dropped his own rifle into place and took aim at one of the figures sitting on the ridgeline. He took a deep breath and held it. Both men operated the bolts on their own rifles as they glanced nervously down at Hale's form taking aim at them. As they started to raise their rifles, Hale fired his rifle. His target's green cap flew off his head as his bullet found its mark and he crumpled to the ground. The other man quickly returned fire at Hale. He missed. Unfazed by the return fire, Hale quickly operated the bolt on his rifle as the hastily fired shot sailed past him. He took aim on the second man as he frantically operated the bolt on his rifle to drop another bullet into the chamber. The rifle jammed and the man's resolve broke. He stood to flee down the hillside behind him. He didn't make it. Hale crouched back down behind the tree he used to hide from the slain soldiers and listened. The only sounds that filled his ears were those of the woodland, snowflakes striking the earth and the sound of tree branches creaking in the wind. Gone was the sound of voices, footsteps and gunfire. He was alone. He sat there for several minutes, just listening to the frantic beat of his heart as it thundered in his ears. When it finally slowed, he gathered up his skis and slowly made his way toward the corpses of his enemies, the first one he found nearby at the bottom of the hill in front of him. He searched it and found two things of interest to him, a bottle of vodka and a grenade. Hale slipped the grenade into his belt and stood.
He unscrewed the cap off the vodka and took a sip. As the vodka burned its way down his throat, he heard a shot ring out off to his north. He smiled and thought, the day was young and there were many more invaders that needed killing.